afraid I've got some bad news.
I knew it. I love when he does that.
Well, I was proven wrong in the next big... This was just Angle Central. They were doing angles into commercial breaks on this show. I was proven wrong, and I take it back right now and go ahead. I'll bend over. You can whack me with the kendo stick. No, everything that Cody Rhodes does not make sense. I admit that now. I'd held out hope. At least his shit makes sense. Wow. When somebody runs off the rails on this program, they do it right. What in the... They have the exhibition that everybody can see coming. It's the Bruno Zabisco angle. The teacher, the mentor, and then the student, the veteran and the young guy. The exhibition match between friends. And here's the thing. When your babyface is fooled by something that every single fan saw coming, you've buried your babyface. So we all knew what was going to happen. We just didn't know exactly. We didn't know exactly what was going to happen because what did happen made absolutely no fucking sense. But we knew that QT was going to turn on Cody. And they had a nice little wrestling match. Once again, you know, executed well. I wish Arn Anderson would lose some weight with all the heart attacks and bad health and everything. He looks massive. A Cody wouldn't figure four QT or wouldn't crossroads him. He was taking it easy on him. Although, did you notice Cody went for the figure four from the wrong side? Is that something he's been doing and I just hadn't noticed it?
He's just a silly young man. I don't know.
Oh, anyway. So then suddenly QT's out on the floor. Cody Rhodes opens the ropes for QT. QT gets in, steps through the ropes, and immediately knocks Arn Anderson out. And then just leaves the ring. And then all of the Nightmare Factory or Nightmare Associates or Nightmare Family or Nightmare Collective or whatever, all these nightmares. They were all surrounding the ring anyway. Dustin and Cody's friends and QT students and all in this big group of people. And then suddenly all the students jump in the ring and beat up all of Cody's friends just at once. And the big guy power bombs Lee Johnson over the top rope onto the stage flat of his back. Stupidest thing I've ever seen for a bump that nobody will remember tomorrow. He'll remember it. Risked his fucking neck for a stupid angle on a stupid program that's not going to move the needle one iota. In terms of any of their business, this guy is trying to cripple himself to get over. And why do they call him Shoddy Lee Johnson? Big Shoddy? Big Shoddy. That's what they're saying, right? When something is shoddy, it's substandard, below par, messy. Anyway, they get juice on Dustin, which you can't half tell because he's wearing makeup anyway. QT gives a pile driver to Dustin onto the steps that are sitting on the stage that the big guy put there. Then they got a boxer. They've just, while these guys are attacking and beating up all the people we know who that is, all the people that we don't know who they are, the announcers are telling us at that point who they are. Well, look, he's a pro boxer. Oh, he just hit Cody in the stomach with a punch. Cody sells the left to the gut by the boxer. Like grisly death when people are popping up from being pile driven on the goddamn gimmicks. And then finally they go to assassinate Cody in some kind of way on the stairs. And here comes Red Velvet, AKA Brandy number two. Remember when they had Kamala number two? This is Brandy number two.
No, this, you know what this is? This is Snuka going to rehab and all of a sudden the Tonga Kid pops up and takes his place in the feudal Piper. All of a sudden she is the surrogate wife, the wrestling wife of Cody Rhodes.
And she saves Cody. And QT is on the stage with his back turned to all of the... They did Bruno's setup, but they sure didn't do Bruno's angle. Now, here was another massive group beatdown, a turn of people in a group against the other people. And a angle with blood and furniture and violence and bludgeoning. And it wasn't even the only one they did in this fucking half hour. What? Why would you do all of this with all these unknown people all at the same time? There's 15 people out there. Nobody can, you can keep track of this if you're on the spectrum in some kind of way and you're like one of the savants that's great with numbers or whatever. But most people are going, who are these people and why are they fucking fighting? What'd you think?
You know, it's all stupid. The whole QT Cody thing kind of out of nowhere. Bruno Zabisco was student versus trainer.
This and it was built for years.
This was two friends who suddenly have a problem, and QT wants this match to prove he can hang with Cody. And then they do this beatdown. Again, we just saw the Inner Circle MJF turn a few weeks back. So here's another.
Last week.
Well, no, that was, it was a few weeks ago. It wasn't last week.
Thought it was 2 weeks ago. Okay, I'm sorry.
So then we see this, and all these guys we've never seen before, we have no idea who they are beating up. You know, the thing about the Nightmare Family, we know a few of these people. Other ones, unless you notice that it's Billy Gunn's kids from the audience, you don't know who they are. Lee Johnson's been on TV a couple of times. You know Dustin. You know Billy Gunn. But no one knows who anyone else there is. So you have guys who you don't know or don't care about getting beat up by guys you've never seen before. And then it creates yet another faction, because that's what AEW needed. More factions. More factions. This whole thing was bad. So many people, and I'm going to include you in this, and I think you'll even admit it, have given Cody Rhodes so much benefit of the doubt.
I just apologize.
So much benefit of the doubt. He is an idiot like the rest. He doesn't understand booking 101. Just because he's Dusty's son doesn't mean he picked up any of the things that Dusty did when he was an infant, because he doesn't know any better. And the fact that this whole thing was built up as stupidly as it was to get on TV, and then this was the execution, like you said, and we've talked about before, there seems to be a problem from segment to segment where the same thing happens in multiple segments. Shaq goes through a table. The Young Bucks put two guys through tables. Same show, a few segments apart. Here is faction on faction bloody beatdown. Wow, that would really mean something if we weren't going to see that in a few minutes.
But wait, there's more. Yeah, we had to wait three whole segments to see it again, even worse. And after all of this, Red Velvet in the back goes to have an interview with the girl interviewer and gets, I counted, 12 words. And here comes Jane in and beats her up and walks off. So they actually had an angle in a promo talking about the previous angle.
It really is so ridiculous. Red Velvet being the one to save Cody. I mean, that was the role for Cody's wife. And I'm not saying they should have had pregnant Brandy run out there and do this. However, if it's not pregnant Brandy, it shouldn't be
just
a substitution. Yeah, why? Red Velvet? She's the one saving Cody? Unless they're going to do an angle where Cody's having an affair with Red Velvet? This is not the place for this.
They won't do that. That might be interesting. It might, but they'd have to act like adults to have affairs. And
name any of the members of QT's faction, whatever the faction is.
Some guy named Go-Go. A guy named Go-Go. And I don't know.
Are you making that up? Did they actually say
no,
one of the guy's name
was? No, there's a guy named Go-Go.
I thought you were just making up a name.
No, this guy, Anthony Go-Go, I think was his name.
I love that when all of a sudden there's all this chaos happening, nothing makes sense, and that's when
excrement.
Yeah, Excalibur, here, read this. Oh, and this is this man, and this is what he does. And it's just as quickly as he can tries to get out all this information about these people you don't know and don't care about. And you still don't care about him after the fact. This was just a waste. What a waste. If you wanted to do QT, if you wanted to take a guy that the AEW fans have not.
He didn't turn on it. He didn't turn on Cody. He punched Arn Anderson in the face and let his people beat up all of Cody and their friends. It did.
That was the turn, though. I mean, that was he orchestrated the whole thing.
What help did this give to QT, who wasn't a main event star beforehand and was portrayed in this as that he couldn't hang in any way with Cody Rhodes when he wasn't even trying? And then he doesn't even really do anything dirty himself to instigate the whole. He punches Arn Anderson, poor fella. Arn had to take a bump for it.
This is what happens when you alienate the other executive vice presidents and they don't want to work with you. You end up having to just work with your friends.
Just, yeah, let's just bring all my
and friends. Your students.
Welcome to the Hoots Podcast. This is a podcast about life, which just happens to be centered and focused around the world of professional wrestling. We tackle the topics of the week, both inside and outside of the squared circle, while also focusing on the issues that are plaguing the world today. Whether it's wrestling, sports, life, or anything in general, we've got you covered right here on the Hoots Podcast. And now, here's your host, Josh Lopez.
And if that doesn't work, then by God, me and my friend Mark, we're going to stop watching. That's right.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 252 of the Hoots Podcast. This is our WrestleMania preview show. Yes! It's just truly the nefarious Brother Adam. You can follow me at Twitter at Josh Lopez Media. I'm still suspended. The Who's Podcast account is unfortunately still suspended, but I'm not letting it bring me down, okay? I am gonna come on here and have a good time. It's WrestleMania week. Your boy's going to WrestleMania. Recording this on a Thursday. My flight from Chicago to Tampa is tomorrow morning. I can't wait, and I can't wait to come on here and talk with you guys, the good brothers and good sisters of the Who's Podcast. We don't have fans. That's not what we do here on the Hoots Podcast. I'm not that much of an egomaniac. Oh, look at my fans. I'm just like you guys. I am not above any of you who support my content. I really do appreciate the support over the last 5 years. And we got a fun show planned for you guys this week. We got, of course, our predictions for WrestleMania. We got, I don't know, like 20 other wrestling shows that we got to talk about that's still remaining this week. I know Impact has their Hardcore Justice pay-per-view that's coming up on Saturday. We got the two nights of WrestleMania. There's night two of TakeOver San Diego delivered tonight. Impact's making their debut on Thursdays on Access TV tonight as well. And NXT UK also has their prelude special on the network today on Peacock. So lots and lots of wrestling to talk about. And we're going to start off the show this week, as always, with the Good Brothers Q&A session. But don't forget, folks, we do have our marquee segments. At the end of the show, you'll hear a brand new edition of the Thoughts of Derrico featuring the one, the only, Brother Carter. And speaking of Brother Carter, our baby, our creation, what the hell is wrong with AEW this week? We'll get into that later on in the show. Believe it or not, folks, I actually liked Dynamite for the most part this week. But there's stuff that I do need to get off my chest with that mud show of a television show. But anyways, I don't want that to be the whole emphasis of the show. Let's get into it. I do want to plug a couple of things. Like I said, you can follow me on Twitter at Josh Lopez Media. You can hit me up on Instagram, if you like, at JoshieLopez94, that's J-O-S-H-I-E Lopez94, or at Josh Lopez Music as well. And make sure to bookmark ProWrestlingTranscriptions.com. That's the place where you can check out all my play-by-play articles. You can catch up with the shows you haven't been able to watch or watch live. Everybody has a live, besides yours truly, I guess. I really need to, like, take a step back and do like some research on the amount of wrestling, like hour wise, that I spent throughout the week covering all these shows. I really need to do that sometime. But life is good. It's all about staying true to your grind and your purpose and keeping perspective and trying to get better every day. And That's all you can do at the end of the day. That's definitely what I'm doing, because I'm taking this one day at a time. Nothing in this life is guaranteed. Tomorrow's not guaranteed, and nothing is entitled to you. Nobody owes you anything. You have to go earn and take what you want out of your own life. So life is great, man. The fact that 7, 8+ years into the game that I'm still like recording shows like this, the wrestling business pays my bills. Like I'm more than blessed than you have any idea, to be honest with you, because like I'm really, really lucky with what I'm able to do. There's a lot of hard work that went into it, but they always say hard work pays off. So I'm in really, really good spirits. So, yeah, just bookmark the website and check out all the other stuff that's going on with the podcast. I do want to mention really quick for WrestleMania, I probably won't be around like hanging out-wise as far as the weekends. I do have some commitments I had to make as far as the transcripts are concerned, so I'm going to be mostly staying at my hotel when it's not WrestleMania time. But if you do see me, say hello, and I'm just really curious to see how the layout's going to be. I know I saw some like WrestleMania like signages at the Tampa airport. I saw that. I'm very curious to see what the stage is for WrestleMania. I think that's going to be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that, the big-ass pirate ship they're building for the stage. And I'm just really curious to see how the entire layout is going to be. You know, anything can happen in Florida, right? But I'm going to be cautious, and this is going to be a good time. So, all right, let's stop. Let's get into this Q&A session. As always, if you want to be part of the Good Brothers Q&A session, all you have to do is send me a question either here on Facebook, or there's a couple other options as well. You can hit me up at Josh Lopez Media, or you can email me your questions at thehootspodcast@gmail.com. And what we do here at the Good Brothers Q&A session, basically all I do is collect a bunch of questions, non-wrestling, wrestling-related, and I just come here and shoot the shit with you guys. The goal of the Hoots Podcast is I want you guys to feel like I'm sitting next to you and we're talking about professional wrestling. That's literally it. If I could accomplish that, then awesome. But honestly, I want this to be a fun experience for you guys, and I appreciate anybody that does send questions that we usually do get here on the show. So shout out to the Good Brothers. That's why I call it the Good Brothers Q&A session. So we're going to start off per ritual with the Good Brother Chris Zaletta at XTeenZaletta24X. He's a good follow on Twitter, by the way, if you're like really into sports and stuff. Like Chris is a really good dude. You should hit him up on Twitter sometime. All right, here we go. He says, "What's up, Moose? Here's some questions for the Q&A this week. Which food spots will you be hitting up in Tampa?" That's a great question. I have no idea as far as like what names of certain restaurants are in Tampa. This is my first time going down there, so I don't know like the big name of the restaurants. If I could find like a Chili's or something like that, that'd be cool, but I have no idea the name of the restaurant, so I got to figure it out for myself. Plus, with COVID and everything, I have to, like, pick and choose wisely, like, where I want to go eat and stuff. I'm probably not going to buy any food and stuff at the stadium when I go to the shows. So I have to be very wise and think about what I'm going to go eat, where I'm going to go eat, and how many people are at the place that I want to eat. Like, again, I'm going to Florida. It's not like me going to, like, Minnesota or somebody else, some other state that's cautious with COVID-19. I'm taking the risk of going down to Florida where it's, like, COVID mania, I guess. But I'll figure it out, though. Tampa, I've heard it's a good city. This is the first time I've been to Tampa. I've been to Orlando a gazillion freaking times. I've never been to Miami before, but yeah, I'm really curious to see what restaurants they do have there in Tampa. Should be a good time. All right, next question. Ooh, I don't know about this one. How's your experience at WrestleZone? Wow, this is the first time I got asked this question here on the podcast. Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, those who don't know, I've been part of the wrestling end of the media. of over the last 8 years. And I would say my first big break in what is wrestling websites and podcasting was WrestleZone back in 2015. And I was there for 3 years. And I am appreciative of the platform and the opportunity I had to work at WrestleZone for the time I was there. Proud of the accomplishments I had there. The people I got a chance to contact and network with over the years. I still have people sometimes reach out to me and say, it's really cool to see you continue to do what you're doing after working at WrestleZone and stuff. And really, a lot of the genesis of ProWrestlingTranscription.com and all the stuff I do now has come from that experience of being at WrestleZone. I take a lot of pride in what I do with my work. For me, I want to bring a different and more authentic approach to wrestling coverage where it's not rooted in opinions and just outright bullshit. I just want it to be cut to the chase and some accurate information. You know, I'm not the first wrestling transcriber. You know, I'm not the first person to do result pieces on a wrestling website. But as a fan of wrestling over the years and seeing how it was and how it was covered, I feel like nobody's really touched what I've done transcript-wise and the amount of effort and detail that I put into these transcripts. And it was a challenge to myself. I wanted to make that stand out. I think that's something that I'm very proud of from my time at WrestleZone, where the result pieces sometimes were highly ranked more than the radio shows that they were pumping out or the rumor innuendo pieces that they're pulling out. There was always like this one hot section in WrestleZone, right? Like the most popular articles. And always you would see the result pieces. Now, yeah, of course, when you have a live coverage of a show, you could generate more comments and you probably could get more views than your just standard dirt sheet article. But I also think that the content, the quality of the content that myself and a buddy of mine, Lovell Porter, who was my other teammate at WrestleZone, we took a lot of great pride in the effort that we're putting into these article pieces. And honestly, transcripts and results are the most accurate and authentic pieces of journalism that you'll see in professional wrestling. You could tell me that I'm lying to my face forever, but that's just a shoot. that's not for me to pump my chest or anything there or pat myself on the shoulder. It's just a fact. I'm putting out these result pieces. I'm telling you what actually happens on the show, and I'm not putting out star ratings or anything or like that just to boost whatever ego I don't have, you know? And WrestleZone was good to me. WrestleZone was good to me to a certain extent, but also it exposed my eyes to the bad side of wrestling media and the stuff that I don't appreciate about the industry that I'm in. And I've seen a lot of good things. I've seen a lot of bad things. Believe it or not, people try to play politics in wrestling media too. You know, one day you're told you're going to be, you're going to go cover WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. The next week, you find out you're being replaced with Nick Hosman going to WrestleMania and getting the opportunity over politics. You know, it is what it is. You know, I'm not going to come in here and trash Nick Hosman. You know, he does what he does. He's with Wrestling Inc. now, so good on him. But, you know, politics happen. Politics even happen in wrestling. And I've seen the ugly side of the wrestling media while working at WrestleZone. I appreciate the platform that I was able to meet a lot of great wrestling fans and get a chance that a couple of wrestlers reached out and said they really appreciated what I do with the transcripts because it actually paying homage to what they do, like setting up matches behind the scenes and stuff. That's always the cool compliments and stuff. Like if somebody could reach out to me and say like, hey, your transcript really helped me like understand what's happening in the show because I wasn't able to watch it or I didn't have enough time to watch the show or basically, like, Yeah, or a wrestler reached out and said, man, you do a great job type down the match. Honestly, I'll be honest with you guys. I never know if I'm 100% accurate with the wrestling end of my transcripts, but I try my best to write down every move in sequence to the best of my ability. I've been doing this for 8 years now, so I think I have a good gist of it. And honestly, the goal is to pay homage to the wrestlers, the referees, the producers in the back, and to you, the wrestling fans that just want some genuine, straight-to-the-cut content. So, I would say the experience was a mixed bag, to be honest with you, Chris, because I wouldn't say wrestling is the only reason why where I am right now. I'd say that I'm the reason where I am right now, and Kevin Gray, my mentor, is another reason where I am Jonathan Hood and stuff like that. But as far as, like, the overall experience, I just think it was just a mixed bag, to be honest with you. Okay, next question. He says, have you given up hope of the Bears somehow getting Russell Wilson? Well, I never had hope of Russell Wilson coming to the Bears. Me, generally, I'm not a person that lives and dies off of expectations and hopes. I rarely get my hopes up for a lot of things because there's a lot of things my life got me to the point where I'm numb to it, where you have to show your actions and stick to your word than tell me what you want me to do or give my hopes up for this. Like, there's nothing in my life in any aspect where I have either too many expectations or have too many wishful thinking or hoping or anything like that. I stay true to my word. I stay true to my work ethic. I stay true to who I am as a person. My energy, anything like that, is reciprocated to the energy people give back to me. And for me, I this never gets to my... It's probably one of the reasons why I'm not, like, negative and glass half empty all the time with professional wrestling, because I don't build myself up to a certain extent of, oh my God, this better deliver, or oh, my world's coming down, or like you're feeling dejected about it. It's not about that for me. Pro wrestling is an escape for me. Do you have standards? Sure. Do I build myself with expectations of stuff that I have no control over? No. Because I think that's wasted energy. So, take a quick swig of water. Okay. Let's see. Do you think there'll be any surprises on Raw after Mania this year? I don't, Chris, because of the fact they're in the Thunderdome, so I don't know if they're going to come up with a different idea for the Superstar Shakeup or do a draft or anything like that, but I don't believe there's going to be any surprises for the Raw after WrestleMania. It's good. It's going to be different. So I think they're even like debuting in the new building this Monday. I think this week was the last week of shows at the Tropicana Field, so we got to figure out where they're going to be at for the next Thunderdome show. So I don't think there will be any surprises on the Raw after WrestleMania. I don't. Next question. Would you put Too Cool in the Hall of Fame based on the connection they have with the fans? Oh, I mean, Coco Beware is in the Hall of Fame. I mean, they could put Too Cool in it. I don't see why that wouldn't be the case. Now, would I say that Too Cool is one of the top 10 tag teams of all time? No. Or 15 or anything like that? No. They were a popular team from my childhood and during the Attitude Era and stuff like that. So they're definitely, I guess from a popularity standpoint, you could put them on there based on the connection with the audience. But I don't know. It's kind of like 50-50 on that. Like for me, I wouldn't be like offended if Too Cool got into the Hall of Fame, but also I don't think like they're a slam dunk option as far as, oh, they're in the Hall of Fame. Like, I know JR is very proud of the roster he built with the Attitude Era and calling it a Hall of Fame roster, and it's to a certain extent, but I don't think every single person from the Attitude Era, especially during that time period, during like 98 and 99, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I just don't. Okay, next question. Oh, the last question from Chris. I'm glad you asked this because I don't think I'm going to have time to hit up New Japan and stuff today. Was it too soon to take the IWGP title off of Kota? What do you think is next for him? there's a lot of going on right now in New Japan that I need to talk about. So I'm glad you asked this question. To be honest with you, Chris, it's hard. I don't want to come out here and bash New Japan for what they're doing right now, because I'm glad that they're still pumping out content, and I mean, it helps my bank account that they're still pumping out a lot of shows as they are. But this is like the reveal of the new title, the fact that they merged the IC title, the world title together. They give it to Ibushi. He loses a month later. Will Ospreay, who has like a crappy group. I don't know, man. It's hard. I don't want to trash it. Is it too soon to lose it on a Sakura Genesis show? I guess. But for me, I don't know. I can't say one way or another. I just don't know where they're going. I guess I know we're going to have Kota Ibushi and Jeff Cobb at a show, because Jeff Cobb attacked Kota Ibushi after the match was over. And by the way, Will Ospreay and Ibushi had a tremendous match at Sakura Genesis this past Sunday. But the thing with me is, like, I don't know where they're going with the new IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah, it's cool. Will Ospreay is the world champion, but do you honestly believe Will Ospreay is going to walk into Wrestle Kingdom with the title? We'll have to see. I'll definitely say I was surprised with the decision. Do I think it's too quick to get it off of Kota Ibushi? I guess so, when you're making the emphasis of the switch of merging these titles together, and then you take the title off him, the first defense he has. I don't know about that, guys. I really don't. All right. Thank you, Chris, for the questions. I appreciate it, good brother. Next one, we're going to go to Patrick Fritz at RatedPWF on Twitter. He says, once you get through the gauntlet that is WrestleMania week, what is next for the respective champions? I'm talking all of them. That's a good question. You know what, Chris? No, my bad. You know what, Pat? I'll say this. I think that I definitely see Drew McIntyre. It's a little spoiler for predictions later on, but I do see Drew McIntyre being the champion. I'm very curious what he would do next, though. Maybe he has a program with Keith Lee or something like that. That would be my idea, I guess. But, you know, this is all very dependent. One thing about the championship matches that WrestleMania this year, they all could go either way, in my opinion. I don't think there's one match. Maybe the Universal Title match is the only one where I'd see that it's clear and cut that Roman Reigns should retain. But everything else is like 50-50. Either this person or that person can become the champion on Saturday and Sunday. So, it's up in the air. I can't really come up with concepts with the title programs immediately off the bat like that for everybody. I mean, of course, it would be cool to see Roman Reigns against Cesaro, you know, or Sasha Banks or Bianca Belair against Liv Morgan or something. I don't know. It's really hard to pick one out of the rest. But that's a good question, though. It really is. Next question from Jeff at Long Island 1892. How does the fact that the Universal Championship match at WrestleMania serves as redemption for all three participants change the outcome? What surprises do you want to see? The story of Edge and Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan fighting each other with the backdrop of them all coming back from either serious injuries or life-ailing circumstances is really remarkable in a lot of ways, and it's really cool and kind of apropos that this is the Triple Threat match. Now, look, I've been very consistent with this and that. I did not want to see Daniel Bryan in the main event of WrestleMania. I do not think he deserves to be in the main event of WrestleMania. The fact that he basically Karen his way into that match is kind of ridiculous in my opinion. But with the backdrop and the history all these guys have and their journeys, okay, you can understand why this match is happening, and it's kind of ample, and life works out that way sometimes. So I think it does serve as redemption for them. I think it's really cool. As far as, like, surprises, though, with expectations and hope, I just want to see what happens and then react from there. So I'm really not expecting any surprises. Next question. Next batch of questions will be coming from King Ajar, part of the TVD Wrestling Podcast Brotherhood. Just want to say I'm pulling this up. Let's get these soon. Thoughts on Rosenberg's pipe bomb? Wow, that's a good question. I've been getting a lot of this recently. I had Sam, the good brother, hit me up about this promo that Peter Rosenberg did on Dave Seltzer from the Wrestling Observer. Those who are frequent listeners of the Hoots podcast knows where I stand with Dave and Brian Alvarez, or Brianna Alvarez, as I like to call him. Oh, man. All right, let's play this from Rosenberg. This is from Rosenberg. If you don't know him, he's from GP. He also works for the Michael K. Show on ESPN New York. Also, you see them on the kickoff shows for a lot of WWE shows. And he hosts GP with my guy, Stat Guy Greg, on ESPN platform. So let's hear what Rosenberg had to say about Dave Seltzer. Here you go.
Yo, quick message for wrestling fans. Stop listening to Dave Meltzer. I mean, I'm not telling you to listen to GP, okay, the world's number one sports and recreation pod. Listen to Wade Keller. Listen to Sam Roberts. Listen to Busted Open. Shout out to Black Announce Table. There are so many up-and-coming podcasts also that are so great. Listen to the Masked Man Show. Listen to people who actually have progressive, thoughtful opinions about the business. This guy only has a name because he happened to be around for so long getting fed false information from wrestlers 30 years ago. What's his great journalistic claim to fame? Where's the big book? Where's the big moment? What is it? He just happened to be around. Okay? His opinions suck. They're moronic. They're baseless. They're false. Yo.
Yo. How about that? Peter Rosenberg flying off the top rope there, pal. Ryan Dave Seltzer. That was great. You know what?
Come on here and bash New Japan.
I'm not the first person that's called out Dave Meltzer, the style of content he pumps out to professional wrestling fans. I think he does a disservice to the industry as a whole. Whether you are a fan of his style of journalism, which he doesn't practice journalism, if his life depended on it, I'm just not a fan of him. I'm not a fan of what he stands for. I'm not a fan of his snarky-ass attitude on the mic. Listening to him is like watching drywall. And, you know, the guy thinks he's holier than thou. And I've been preaching this on this podcast for 5 years. You need to think for yourself. You need to speak for yourself. You should never base your fandom or our knowledge or analysis or any aspects of professional wrestling on the opinions of Dave Meltzer. He does nothing to help the industry grow. He hasn't done anything to help the business grow in 30 years. Anybody can come up with a hysteria and make you believe that he's some holier-than-thou media member. But honestly, if you compare Dave Meltzer to the Adam Schefters of the world, or Ian Rappaport, or Tim Kirchin, or Jeff Passan, or any of these other guys, you're slapping those guys in the face with that type of comparison, to be honest with you. Look, I'm a media member. I don't have the following the sheep herd mentality that Dave Meltzer has built over 40 years. Congratulations, man. You built an empire of yourself of legions of fans that are going to leech on and get on their knees and basically advocate and acknowledge and validate every little thing that comes out of your mouth. But for me, my goal with professional wrestling and my style of coverage, it's not for me to tell you what to think about professional wrestling. I come in here and speak from my heart. I know for a fact, every time I come on the show, I know either somebody's going to disagree with what I say about a wrestling show. I can guarantee that, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But guess what? I'm speaking for myself. I'm thinking for myself. And you have so many podcasts that are so rooted in what this guy thinks and what he reports and what the rumor and innuendo is. And it's like, the guy gets so much clout for shitty content. Like, what is good that he pumps out besides the historical pieces whenever a wrestler passes away? Like, the Wrestling Observer Awards are stupid. The Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame is stupid. He has a shitty crew as far as his network concern is on air. I'm just going to call it a spade. The Wrestling Observer Network sucks. It's just not good content. So I sit here, right? And I don't need to say just to pump myself up. There's a lot of great wrestling shows out there. Like ones that Rosenberg just mentioned. Check out TBD Wrestling Podcast. New Age Insiders and Rant With Dan were great shows. You know, there's a lot of great wrestling content out there. Three Count Thursday, Kings of the Ring. You know, what sucks about this in the wrestling industry as a whole is that it's so much of it now is so predicated on what's over on Twitter and the Observer, and it's fucking ridiculous. The fact that Tony Khan puts this dude on a pedestal and bases every decision he makes on him and Brianna Alvarez because he was a 25-year-plus long subscriber to The Observer, it's freaking hilarious to me. How are you going to call yourself the forbidden door in this wrestling genius when all your ideas and concepts are from two dudes from the Pacific Northwest? So, again, I would never come in here and tell a wrestling fan how to feel. You think for you, I think for me. Dave Meltzer has done nothing positive for the pro wrestling business, at least in the last 15, 20 years. So, that's my thoughts on it. Dave sells. next question. He says, why do you think fans don't like Drew on social media? Well, because fans on social media are fickle. That's why. it doesn't matter what year it is. You can be a flavor of the month in WWE 1 year, and the next year you're like, oh, I don't like this dude on the card. Oh my God, he's so boring. Like, I mentioned this last week. Like, Drew McIntyre is in the same position that Seth Rollins was last year. And it's like, Daniel Bryan was right, man. Fickle. Pro wrestling fans in 2021 are fickle. You know, you look at Drew McIntyre, and I don't know what people want in a babyface anymore, to be honest with you, because we're so tapped into this gray area aspect of professional wrestling where all characters have to resemble some type of qualities that came from the Attitude Era, because supposedly that was the only good era of professional wrestling. Like, yes, I understand how successful the Attitude Era was, but not everything in professional wrestling needs to be rooted in what happened in that era. You know why that era worked? Because they're tapping into what was happening at that time. This is a different era, and I think a large spectrum of the fan base in this industry is still stuck in 1998. And it's cool to reflect and be nostalgic about professional wrestling, but sooner or later you gotta get with the times, man. And I'm not talking just about fans, I'm talking about people in the industry too. You got to adapt. You got to have progressive thoughts in the industry. How can the wrestling industry grow when you're constantly looking at things through the lens of the Attitude Era or like I just mentioned, with the thoughts of Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez. How can we progress if, as industry as a whole, we have no self-awareness, we're not progressive, we can't be for ourselves? How do we get to that point? So, I see fans on social media are fickle. that's just the truth, man. I love Drew McIntyre. I'm a big fan of his. I'm really excited to see him have a killer match with Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania this weekend. But people, especially on Twitter, are fickle. That's just a shoot. Is there anything besides concert you don't like about WWE? That's a good question. You know, I had a question. Somebody hit me up the other day. He's like, hey, why don't you do a What the Hell is Wrong with WWE segment? Guys, you can hear that segment in just about every single wrestling podcast that's out there. Trust me, you can do that. I think the biggest thing for me that I don't like about WWE is commentary. The best commentary crew that WWE has is Andy Shepherd and Nigel McGuinness on NXT UK. I do like the crew that they have for NXT with Vic, Wade, and Beth Phoenix. I think they did a great job last night at TakeOver Stand and Deliver. But I think for me, the stuff that I don't like about WWE is stuff that is like middle school, so I don't really expend a lot of energy on it. Where, like, I think WWE's probably biggest issue when it comes to television is not as much what they do storyline wise, is I just think their weekly match cards are just hit and miss a lot of times. The reasoning as to why So-So's fighting on Raw or SmackDown is just hit and miss a lot of times, and for me, like, if I see a repeated match on a show, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but as a transcriber, that makes my job easier because I already know what the match layout is going to be. So, I do agree to a certain extent that WWE is very formulaic in how they approach their in-ring content, and as me, as a guy in the media, I don't look at WWE or any wrestling show on what they do with their book, because I never worked in the wrestling industry, so I don't have the concept of how that works. My critiques come from what you do inside of the ring and stuff like that in formatting the show. But like the match pairings on weekly television are more times than not hit and miss. Like anything else though? I'm not a fan of the Women's Tag Team Championship. I'm not, at least on Raw SmackDown. I just think right now there needs to be like a weekly all-women show where we don't put ourselves in a position where people are like, oh my God, there's not enough emphasis on women's wrestling. Put them all in one show and have them do what they do. And see where that goes business-wise with metrics and stuff like that. Yeah, that company is loaded with so many talent that you're going to get to this point where you're not going to be able to feature good, talented performers, and that's unfortunate, but that's just the reality of the business right now. So that'd probably be the only thing that I don't like about WWE besides the commentary. Good question, though. Next question. Oh, boy. Would you wear a Packers jersey for a whole year to date Alexa Bliss for one night? Well, King, I do believe Waterfall is Bliss. But the great thing with Waterfall, there's plenty of it. There's an abundance of Waterfall that I can partake. And as much as I love the endless streams of Alexa Bliss, I cannot lower myself to wear shitty, and I mean shitty, green and yellow uniforms. So that's going to be a hell no. A double hell no. Look, I love Alexa Bliss, but she's not the only Waterfall that's out there that I would like to partake in when it comes to the world of WWE. So I'll have to pass on that offer. I'd rather be I honestly would rather, you know, not watch the NFL for an entire year than wear a Packers uniform. No shot. Absolutely not. You can... I'd rather be here than wear a Packer uniform. No, fuck the Packers. Screw Aaron Rodgers and his sensitive ass. Screw Stephen A. Smith and always saying the Packers are going to be in the Super Bowl every year and then he gets on his freaking soliloquy when they don't. I'm so tired of the Packers. Oh, man. Would I wear a Packers uniform for a whole year? Dude, that's like a damn death sentence. What are you doing to me, man? What are you doing to me, King? Damn it. Damn it. Alright. Oh, this is a good question. Favorite TV show? That's a great question. My favorite TV show of all time is either Sopranos or Martin. That'd probably be my favorite TV show of all time. As far as like television is concerned, yeah. Those probably be my ones. But good questions, King. I really appreciate those. All right, we're going to get to our last batch of questions here before we head out for this segment. I do want to thank everybody who's reached out for these questions. It really means a lot to me. Okay, last batch of questions comes from Nate the Great at Cycle Nagiri. What do you think is the most important WrestleMania moment in history? I think the gimme one is obviously Hogan slamming Andre at WrestleMania 3 at the Pontiac Silverdome. But I think for me, I think the most quintessential WrestleMania moment is Brock Lesnar conquering the streak at WrestleMania 30. I know there's always been this folklore about the reaction when Bruno lost the WWF title. But get to witness Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker had that moment at WrestleMania 30. I think that was one of the first WrestleManias I got to cover, transcript-wise. So, yeah. A wild moment, to say the least. I think that's probably the most quintessential WrestleMania moment that could ever be, is Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker, beating the streak at WrestleMania. How would you assess the build to WrestleMania this year? Well, it goes back to just understanding where we are in reality right now. I just don't think right now, as we're in this pandemic and we're in this pandemic era of professional wrestling, what I gauge as far as what's over or what's a good build or what's a good home show or anything like that, I just think that aspect of the business does not matter right now because you're not selling tickets outside of this particular show. But, like, for me, I just don't look at the business the same right now as if 20,000 people are there because they're not. They're not. I'm not saying that you can't have good shows and bad shows or whatever, but, like, how I view wrestling now with the fact that we're in a pandemic, it's just changed a lot since it started. So I don't really know what to base the build on. No one was there to react besides virtual screens and pissing contests on Twitter. Like, what are we really gauging on what's over or not in professional wrestling? Honestly, like, what are we gauging this on? So for me, it's not about whether it was a good build or not. By now, you should decide whether this was a good card or not. That's what you should be asking yourself, not if the build was good or not. Here's the last question for Nate. This is a very interesting one. If someone only comes around when it's convenient, should you keep them in your life? Oh, man. You know what? I think it's all reciprocated, the act and the way you respond to when people react, reach out to you, right? Especially if it's like a family member, right? People are reaching out to you when it's convenient for them. Yeah, you'll acknowledge what they have to say, but there's also times where you have to draw a line, especially when it comes to something like this, whether you're in a relationship with somebody, whether you're friends with somebody, or you're having a family member that's only reaching out to you when it's convenient for them. It really opens your eyes to a lot of things. As somebody told me, that it's not the closeness I had with somebody, it's about how, like, distance-wise, how close they are to a person, as far as how they could be in a relationship with them. And I'm like, that's the stupidest fucking thing I ever heard in my entire life. I've had people that I've known personally that in my entire life that are family members that I've seen all the time, and I don't trust them as much as I would trust somebody that is in my inner circle and people that I really do trust. Distance and location of being close to somebody is a fucking excuse. You know, maybe I'm old school in how I view things, but, you know, when you're thinking about general interaction, right? Let's say you're trying to get into a relationship with somebody, right? Or you're just friends with a girl, right? And she's only reaching out to you when it convenes her, either when she's bored or she's feeling down because, you know, Tyrone and Billy are ignoring her or not giving her what she wants, right? She reaches out to you because she knows you'll be the one to validate her. You'll be the one to acknowledge her. You'll be the one to lift her up. You'll be the one she relies on to you. She relies on to pick her spirits up. But you notice that starts becoming a trend. She's not reaching out to you to see how you're doing. She's not genuinely wanting to speak to you. She reaches out to you when it's on her terms. And that's where you get to a really tricky situation. And I think if any man has any value in themselves, especially when it comes to relationships or people that like to tell you that you're friends, but their actions speak otherwise, that's something that you need to keep your eyes open on, because you can fall yourself and you get yourself down the sinkhole, and that's just an area you do not want to be in. I think sometimes you have to set boundaries. You have to open your eyes to what's going on in the dynamic of the friendship you have with somebody. And, you know, maybe I'm old school, but I believe words have consequences and actions also have consequences as well. So I'm not going to come in here and fully say that I should cut somebody off because they only want to reach out to me to a full certain extent or when it's convenient for them, but am I going to take them seriously? No. Because people should show to you with their actions. It should all come from a genuine point of view. If I'm your friend, and we're buddies, and we're hanging out, and blah, 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 you don't owe me anything, but it would be nice to be like, hey, I want to reach out to Josh because I want to see how he's doing. Not because, oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. Oh, I'm reaching out to him because I'm feeling down and I need somebody to pick me up. That's not a friend. That's a user. Understand the difference there. Words have meaning. Words have consequences. And I think it's very... unfortunate that especially a lot of women these days will latch on to dudes for validation and acknowledgement and pretend that they're friends with somebody and then flip the script when it's convenient for them. I find that very interesting because that's not a friend. That's not. Especially you got to look at their actions. If she's reaching out to you late at night, before she goes to sleep all the time, are you really her friend? As you as a man, do you have any self-respect for yourself? If there's a girl you like, there's a girl you love, there's a girl that you want to give all yourself to, the girl that you want to be partners with, that you want to spend the rest of your life with, at what point do you put your foot down and say, hey, I'm a fucking man. I don't give two shits about the guys that are treating you bad. Acknowledge what's in front of you. At what point do you start standing up for yourself? Or are you going to be that fucking sick friend? Hey, I want to be your friend! I want to be your friend! I'm getting the real right now. We're having a real conversation right now. At what point do you have some self-respect for yourself? At what point? Because, especially for a girl that says she misses your the sound of your voice, she's texting you, she's calling you late at night, the way she looks at you when you guys talk on FaceTime, all this shit, that's not a friend. Not a friend. You know, a girl reveals something personal about her, you try to give her encouragement about that, try to keep her spirits up. The next day she's telling you, oh, we're just friends. We're friends? Right. We're friends. Just like you wanted me to go meet your parents. But we're friends. Let me reach out to you when it's convenient for me. But also, I'm going to guilt trip you over the fact that you're not initiating contact after you played me. It's funny how women feel like they have any right or say to dictate how another man is supposed to feel after they did them wrong or hurt them. That's not a friend. That's just bullshit. I'm not a person that you interact with to a certain extent. Either you're with me or not. I have no time for this flaky bullshit. I just don't have time for it. So, you know, you have to understand, Nate, and everybody that's listening to this, that you need to put your fucking foot down to a certain time. Because you are not a pushover. You're a fucking man. You're high value. You cannot let women walk over you. And if it's especially a woman that's only going to acknowledge you or interact with you to a certain extent or when it's convenient for them, fuck them. Honestly. You don't deserve that. Nobody deserves that. You know what your focus should be on? You. Your focus should be on going after your goals, going after your dreams, acknowledging what you need to fix mentally or heal what's inside of you. Work on your mental health. Go after your fucking goals and your dreams. Get your own apartment. Get out of your parents' house. Move out of the city. Do something for you. Because you have a woman in your life that, oh, I want to be your friend! I want to be your friend! A girl's going to drag you down mentally and emotionally and what you get out of it. Oh, I'm bummed out because she rejected me. I got rejected 2 years ago. And guess what? I leveled up. I grew the fuck up. And I'm doing things on my own terms now. Acknowledge your value. You have value in this life. Remember that. You have value to yourself. You don't have value to people who only care about you to a certain extent. Friends don't put you in a situation or a box where you're only good to them to a certain extent. Remember, you are the value. To you, to nobody else. You're going to run some million people in your life that are only going to treat you well to a certain extent or reach out to you when it's convenient to them. Especially family members or relationships, whether it's guy or girl. And when you get to that point, you're just wasting your fucking time. Because there's no reason why you should interact with somebody when it's only convenient for them. Fuck that. It's not worth it. It's not worth your time or energy. you're just lowering yourself for that. I'm going to acknowledge you when it's good enough for you. Oh, I want to be a friend. I want to be a friend. Oh, I'm going to reach out to you when, oh, my boyfriend doesn't want to call me his girlfriend. Oh, I'm going to reach out to him. I'm going to reach out to Joshy because, like, don't fall for the games, folks. It's not worth it. And that's all I have to say about that. So, I want to thank Nate, Chris, Jeff, Pat, King, all great Good Brothers, awesome Good Brothers Q&A session. Enjoy the rest of the show, everybody. When we come back, I'll be making predictions, yes, for WrestleMania. And recap night one of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver right here on the Hoots Podcast.
Now, you might think I'm mad at Daniel, and I am, but I also, strangely, I have to thank him because I had a lot of time for reflection this week. I looked in the mirror, and I finally liked what I saw. I finally saw the guy who, when he is backed in a corner, he comes out biting, he comes out swinging, he comes out doing whatever he has to do. I looked in the mirror and I finally saw the rated R superstar. You know, but while I'm out here, why don't we throw up the graphic of Adam Pearce's masterpiece for WrestleMania, shall we? There it is. There it is, a triple threat match for the Universal Championship. There is Adam Pearce's validation for his paycheck. Way to go, Adam. But I don't think Adam understands the ramifications of what he's done. I don't think Roman understands. I don't think Brian understands. So did I snap at Fastlane after getting hit with a chair from Daniel Bryan after he hit me with a running knee weeks before that? Did I snap after Adam Pearce made this a triple threat match? You're damn right I did. I finally woke the hell up. I am a man that Roman Reigns aspires to be. I am a man that Daniel Bryan aspires to be. I am a WWE Hall of Fame legend. I am the ultimate opportunist. And I am finally, once again, the rated R superstar. And last week, when I held that cold steel chair in my hands and I felt it crash into your bodies, it felt so, so good. And I had you both for the concerto. I was this close. And it's going to happen again. And when it does, I won't hesitate.
All right, folks, welcome back here to the Hoots Podcast. Hope you guys joined the show so far. Great addition to the Good Brothers Q&A session. Now it's time to get into what happened this week in WWE. You just heard cops there from Edge from this past week's edition of Friday Night SmackDown. And I'm going to come on here and go over my predictions for WrestleMania 37. Your boy is going to be in Tampa Bay. I'm going to be hanging out with the good guys, Drew Baydala and Blake Mitchmore from the SNE Network. And I'm very excited to go to WrestleMania. This is going to be my fifth WrestleMania that I attended as a fan. Really excited. It should be a fun time. And we got a lot of matches to go over, so I'm not really going to waste too much time on here. This could be a brief segment, but I do want to say thank you, everybody, for the support of the podcast, as always. But let's get into some predictions, yes, for WrestleMania. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to scroll down really quick. I got I got my website as a point of reference for the card here. So here we go. We'll start off with night one. We'll start off with the Riot Squad versus Naomi, Lana, Natalya, Tamina, and Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke in a tag team turmoil match. The winner will battle Shayna and Nia for the women's tag team titles on night two of WrestleMania. I am going with the Riot Squad to win this match. New Day against AJ Styles and Omos for the Raw Tag Team titles. They have AJ Styles and Omos winning. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage match. I have Braun Strowman winning, but I can also see a scenario where like Strowman does the running power slam through the cage, and then Shane McMahon escapes. So I have Braun Strowman, but that's 50-50 up there in the air for me. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. I have Cesaro winning, but I also would not be surprised if Seth Rollins wins. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest against The Miz and John Morrison. Definitely Bad Bunny and Damian Priest will get the W here. And a little bonus part here. The Miz turns on John Morrison. You're welcome. All right. Sasha Banks against Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I have Bianca Belair defeating Sasha. Actually, no, I don't. I have Sasha Banks retaining, but this is a double turn scenario a la Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13. We have two great area characters here, and we need to get some distinguished roles here. So I have Sasha Banks retaining via referee stoppage. So I got Sasha winning. And finally, we have Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre in the main event of WrestleMania Night 1. I have Drew McIntyre becoming your new WWE champion in a stellar barn burner of a heavyweight hoss fight. And I can't express this enough how excited I am for this match, for the fact that just because these two guys and the journey they had, but also the fact that this is a WWE World Championship match with current stars as heavyweight badasses. I think that's badass, and this match should be freaking sick, so I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre to beat Bobby Lashley. All right, night two. I have the Riot Squad becoming your new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Yes. I got Sheamus beating Matt Riddle to become the United States Champion. I got Kevin Owens beating Sami Zayn. Big E retains over Apollo Crews in the Nigerian drug fight. I'm very curious to see what that is. I got The Fiend beating Randy Orton. That could go either way. I'm very curious to see how that goes. They didn't do much as far as Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt's concerned on Raw this week, which I was kind of surprised by that, to be honest with you. So we'll have to see what happens. And then I have Rhea Ripley becoming the new Raw Women's Champion. A good match with Asuka. And then finally, the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, the best professional wrestler in the world right now, Roman Reigns defeats Edge and Daniel Bryan in a crazy triple threat match with shenanigans and twists and turns and pomps and circumstances. But some way, somehow, the Tribal Chief will reign supreme, and the Island of Relevancy will be remain intact. So the big dog walks out Raymond James Stadium, still your Universal Champion. And this would be Roman's first title. This would be Roman's first title win in a WrestleMania since he originally won the title at WrestleMania 32 against Triple H. So, could be a fun night. Fun two nights, actually. I can't wait to get down to Tampa. It's going to be a fun time to cover and enjoy the event of WrestleMania as a whole. All right. I'm going to get to my thoughts on last night's give my thoughts on last night's NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver show. I thought it was awesome. It was really a lot of fun. I love the stage set that they have. I thought that was really cool. The fact they had so many fans at the Capitol Wrestling Center, I thought that was really cool too. I thought that Vic, Wayne, and Beth did a fantastic job on commentary. This night one definitely did not disappoint and lived up to the moniker stand and deliver. I really felt that a lot of matches felt like they needed something to prove, and that's really a lot of the cases you have at these takeover shows. These guys and women just leave it all in the ring, and I just loved the show last night. It was really, really good. You had Pete Dunne defeat Kushida in the opening match. I thought that was pretty solid. Was not surprised by the winner of that match. I really enjoyed the Gauntlet Eliminator match where we had Bronson Reed advancing to tonight, where he's going to be taking out Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship. But I really enjoyed that match. I'm a big fan of LA Knight and Kevin Gretz too. I thought that was great. Speaking of great, thank you to Walter and Tommaso Ciampa for providing one of my favorite matches that I transcribed this year so far. That was absolutely awesome. If you guys want to know what my style of professional wrestling or my preference in wrestling style is, definitely that match as a whole. And then we had the Triple Threat Tag Team match where MSK are your new NXT Tag Team Champions. Kind of bummed out that my guys, GYV, did not win this match. I'm a big mark for the Grizzly Gun veterans, so hopefully they'll get their shine one day, but that's not a good match. And then finally, the main event, Io Shirai against Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's Championship. The reign of Io is over. We have a new champion in Raquel Gonzalez, and well-deserved honor and opportunity for Raquel Gonzalez, and a fitting end to Io's really remarkable tirade in NXT. So again, I thought night one definitely stood and delivered, and I'm very curious to see what goes down tonight. Mentioned it last week for the predictions that I have no contest with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. I have Killer Cross becoming your new NXT champion. Jordan Devlin beats Santos Escobar. Bronson Reed beats Johnny Gargano. And Shotzi and Ember retain over the way. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for this week in WWE. Really, a lot of business still going on. And don't forget to check out NXT UK Prelude as well. They got three big matches on that show. Noam Dar against Tyler Bate. Miko Satomura and Millie McKenzie against Kaylee Ray and Isla Dawn. And then the main event, Walter against Rampage Brown for the United Kingdom Championship. That's going to be a sick match. So check out NXT UK Prelude on the WWE Network. So that's my thoughts on what happened this week in WWE. Now, what everybody's been waiting for, the main event of the evening is scheduled for one fall with no time limits. And this is going to be a lot of fun. It's time for everybody's favorite segment in the world of professional wrestling. What the hell is wrong with AEW? We're going to start this off with Brother Carter in a 3-2-1.
It's time for What the Hell is Wrong with AEW?
What the hell is wrong with AEW? All right, I'm going to be honest. Tonight, or I'm recording this on a Wednesday evening, I watched the night one of Stand and Deliver, which was definitely the right choice, I think. So my segment this week is going to involve just me reading the results and kind of giving my feedback from that. So it's not the full version, but if there's one thing I've learned about my time in wrestling podcasting, well, this isn't really true, but just, you know, and about media and about, you know, that sort of thing, you must give the people what they want. And we know that what the people want is what the hell is wrong with AEW. And so I'm going to tell you what there is, what the hell is wrong with AEW. Shut up, Derek! All right, let's get into it. So apparently, we're going to get a feud between the Death Triangle, who is dangerous and lethal and are incredibly talented, and Best Friends, who are not that. I don't know. I just think that Death Triangle deserves better than Best Friends. I don't like Best Friends. They're fine. But Death Triangle deserves way better than that. Like, on paper, they should absolutely obliterate Best Friends. So we'll just have to see what happens with that. So, I don't know. I just don't think we're going to see that. Or I just don't think I want to see it, but we'll have to see. Okay. And now we get the Inner Circle promo. And apparently MJF is my jerk-off friend. That's great. So, and then we have just this great promo. And apparently we're going to get a Blood and Guts match on television, I believe. Is that right? Anyways, we're going to get a Blood and Guts match between the Inner Circle and Pinnacle. I guess we were supposed to get this before the pandemic hit, and then it didn't work out, which is fine. I get it. But apparently we're now going to be getting one of those. So, all right, we get into the promo. Apparently, we're going to be getting... apparently, they're just talking about getting fired from the Fed. So, once again, they take an unnecessary shot at WWE. Shocking. And so, let's see. I'm just looking at... Look like May 5th. I'm just looking it up. Yep, that's a Wednesday night. So, on Dynamite, we're going to be getting... instead of saving it for a pay-per-view. That's great. Okay, so now Christian Cage potentially being with Team Taz. God, I hope not. That doesn't need to happen. I'm guessing now Sting barely gets the opportunity to talk, as usual. So, I don't know. It looks like we're getting Sting and Lance Archer. I don't know. I'm just kind of giving my initial reactions. I understand Hangman Page had a good match. I understand that Darby Allin had a good match, so that's all fine. I'm very happy about that. That's all very good. And, okay. Now we get Tyson. So, why the hell are Tyson and Jericho friends now after they tried to create this god-awful, unnecessary... Tyson and Austin segment from the Attitude Era. They tried to recreate it with Tyson and Jericho. Tyson and Jericho to try to recreate this nostalgic pop because that's all AEW can do is cater to those and pander to the small, small bunch of internet wrestling marks, which means this company is going to be out of business in 5 years, but we all know that. So apparently Tyson and Jericho are now friends now. It's unnecessary. It makes no sense. It's complete garbage. And again, further proving that AEW doesn't have an identity. And now, we're going to get into it. Let's get into it. Now, we end the match with this, or we end the show with the six-man tag spot fest because that's all AEW knows how to do, unlike NXT. When they do the high-flying moves, they do them sparingly in order to make them more special, unlike the spot fest over-the-top production that AEW feels like they need to do every week. And at the very end, the Young Bucks super kick Jon Moxley and are now once again with the Elite. And Bullet Club is back. Because that's what people want to see. They want to see 2015 New Japan and not fresh revolutionary storylines. Nobody cares about the Bullet Club. No. Buddy, nobody cares. Like, get over yourself, AEW. Nobody wants to see that. We're going to see it for a few weeks, and then we're going to get bored. Great, we saw the reunion. Yay, oh my God. Very, very few people in this world know and care about Bullet Club. Only the hardcore wrestling fans who AEW tries to pander to, which is a very, very small percentage of the entire wrestling landscape, but they pay money like they own 51% of the wrestling industry. It doesn't make any sense. It's not a good business practice. It makes absolutely no sense from a storyline perspective, and I don't have any reason to tune in. If I'm a new fan, why the hell would I care about this godforsaken company? Seriously, what the hell is wrong with AEW?
This has been What the Hell is Wrong with AEW!
Thank you very much, Brother Carter, for the submission this week. Yes, sir. It's that time of the week, ladies and gentlemen, where you're truly the nefarious Brother Adam goes over the week that was in All Friends Wrestling. And lo and behold, not surprised by what we see on TNT every Wednesday night. But much to your guys' surprise, I liked a couple aspects of AEW Dynamite this week. I liked the match with Hangman Page and Max Caster. Even though Max Caster can't rap for shit, and I don't like his character whatsoever, he is okay in the ring. So I thought that was a good match with Hangman and Max Caster. Also liked the Darby Allin match with JD Drake. I thought that was very good. Also, I want to give a shout-out to the Bunny and Ty Conti. Very, very good physical match as well. Now, let's get to the stuff that you guys do want to hear. You know, the line of the night that popped me the most was from Excalibur, where he's like, Aubrey Edwards' attention was diverted. No. No, Excalibur. I noticed that every single fucking week. You know damn well when Aubrey Edwards is officiating a match, some shenanigans are going to go down, and she's going to be out of position, she's going to be distracted, there's going to be, like I said, shenanigans, and it's like, oh god, where are we going from here? So, like, I thought that line popped me. I gotta say again, once again, the commentary is just brutal, man. And then you have the four-man move, which I'm going to get to later on. It's just rough. I do say that covering the Fight TV versions of Dynamite are much enjoyable experience and ones that I could fast-forward to more quickly, to be honest with you. But I do enjoy the times I do get to cover the Fight TV versions of AEW Dynamite. We found out that Inner Circle will be fighting Pinnacle in a Blood and Guts match on May 5th, which is 2 days before my birthday, which is really cool. But, yeah, we're finally getting Blood and Guts after we promised it last year. So, I'm sorry, guys. No football fuckery this time. But I got to get into this, and this, I just thought this is freaking ridiculous, okay? Okay, Jericho cuts a decent promo last night, right? And I'm sorry, I'm never going to cheer for Jake Hager or Sammy Guevara. Just no shot. Jake Hager can go home and stay the fuck home. And I have no comment regarding Sammy Guevara. Look, I don't know why they're rushing this match so quickly to do it on television as opposed to holding it off for Double or Nothing. I really don't know why that's the case. I also don't understand why the fuck you start a new top faction and they're running away from Mike Tyson. Now, if this was Mike Tyson from 23 years ago, from the Attitude Era, yeah, I would understand that. Yes, I know Mike Tyson got back in the ring. Yes, I know Mike Tyson is one of the baddest men in the planet. But the last 2 weeks, you made your new cool faction look like idiots. You made your new top faction look like geeks. Like, everybody already knew that Shawn Spears wasn't going to mount the shit in the faction. So, yeah, he's the one that's going to be beat up by Mike Tyson and his jabs and stuff in the corner. Awesome. Like, I don't... Like, yeah, of course, the Blood and Guts match will be cool and all. But they did nothing to get me more invested in that last night. And I don't understand what they're doing with the Pinnacle right now. I don't. MJF's been killing promos over the last weeks. You rushed the return for the Inner Circle to have the backstage macho brawl last week. And then this week, you're having to come out and be treated like jabronis by Mike Tyson, who's like almost 60. I don't get it, guys. I don't. Let's be honest with you. Okay, next thing on this extravaganza. Okay. John Moxley and the Spot Bucks against Kenny Olivier and the Mr. Clean Club. Why, Tony Khan, must you insist on having these ridiculous six-man tag team matches every fucking week? And why do these six-man tag matches need to be 20 minutes every fucking week? Can somebody explain that to me? The four-man booth during this match was absolutely appalling. It almost made my ears start bleeding how bad it was listening to that. First off, let me just say this really good. During Pitcher-to-Pitcher, you guys can hear this on the TNT version. Excalibur and Don Callis were going back and forth at each other about, oh, the Young Bucks always stick up for their friends and stuff like that. Oh, no shit. It's all friends wrestling. Of course they do that. I did pop by saying that. I did get a pop from Don Callis calling Excalibur a Young Bucks apologist. I thought that was pretty funny. But, like, I'm watching this, and I've been consistent with this, guys. I have no interest in this Young Bucks, Olivier, General Hospital-esque storyline that they're doing. Like, I call Don Callis Maurice Bernard, Sonny Corinthos-esque commentary. Like, I have no interest in this. And in the predictable of all predictable routes to end this much show of a television show, we have the Young Bucks turn on John Moxley because they're hesitant to freaking drill the brains of this absolute imbecile, Kenny Olivier. And the Bullet Club is back together. No, Bullet Club is in New Japan. Let's get our facts straight, pal. Oh my god, man. So their big idea for Dynamite on the week of WrestleMania is let's get the Bullet Club back together. Let's have our reveal for that since we're live, pals. Live TV, so we gotta make it big. Nope. You know, despite a couple decent matches here and there, still more of the same for Dynamite. And once again, the Much Show remains a Much Show. And that is what the hell is wrong with AEW this week. All right, folks, I want to thank you guys so much for hanging out with me for our WrestleMania preview edition of the Hoots Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Josh Lopez Media. Make sure to hit me up on Instagram if you like, at JoshyLopez94, at Josh Lopez Music, and make sure to bookmark ProWrestlingTrashTruths.com. As far as the podcast is concerned, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. It comes to you free of charge every single Thursday. And please leave us that 4 or 5 star review. It helps expand the reach of the show and helps us gauge on what you like or dislike about the Hoots Podcast. Right now, I'm going to send out to Brett Carter for his big segment in a couple minutes. But I just want to remind everybody, you are the authentic product that is yourself. Remember, nobody's dictating the pace of your life but yourself. Always remember that. I'm Joshy. Have a wonderful weekend. I hope you enjoy WrestleMania. I'm going to be sharing some pics from my trip down there. And it's going to be a fun time. And try to enjoy WrestleMania. It's really cool. It's the first major event in a football stadium with fans for professional wrestling. And this is going to be an awesome night. And I can't wait. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll be back here next week to recap WrestleMania 37 right here on the Hoots Podcast. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Let's send it out to Brett Carter for this week's edition of The Thoughts of Derrico. Yes, sir.
And now, The Thoughts of Derrico. Listen well, man.
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the segment that's going to get you ready for the biggest night of the year. It is The Thoughts of Derrico, featuring the one, the only, Brother Carter. We're going to get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. No sense talking about Raw or SmackDown this week. We're going to get right into it because, ladies and gentlemen, WrestleMania is back. And the fact that we're going to have fans in attendance for the first time at a wrestling at a WWE event in over a year, an incredible two-night card, a ton of matches. I'm counting here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Right now there's 13 matches listed. This is going to be a very special weekend for wrestling fans. And I think it's potentially the start for the wrestling industry, for WWE being able to have live crowds in a regular capacity. And I hope that this will lead to WWE considering bringing back live crowds, having more live events, especially as more people get vaccinated and more people start to become able to defeat COVID-19. I really hope that this is what we see, but I'm really excited about this weekend, and so let's get right into it, and I'm going to give you my predictions for WrestleMania 37. Now, I'm going to give them to you in the order that in reverse order that they are listed on the WWE website. I'm not 100% sure. I guess I can look up what's going to be night one and night two, and that's all fine and well good, but I'm going to do this in the reverse order that they are listed on the WWE's official WrestleMania website. Does not necessarily mean, again, that this is the order that the matches will go in. But we're going to start with the women's tag team turmoil match. You've got Naomi and Lana versus Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke versus the Riot Squad versus Natalya and Tamina in the We Need Something for These Women to Do match. And then the winner goes on and faces Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler on Sunday. So this match will happen on Saturday, and then the winners will get their shot at the women's tag team titles on Sunday. I have no idea. I'm going to take Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke just for the heck of it. I feel like that they are due for something, and I think that they both have a lot of potential, especially Dana Brooke, to do something great. So I'm going to take Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke with the champions retaining on Sunday. I don't see Shane and Nia's reign ending anytime soon, because WWE has nothing for them to do. So that's going to be my prediction. I'm going to take Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke eventually losing to the Women's Tag Team Champions. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn in a let's get two guys who have incredible chemistry and a long history and just put them together. And so this is going to be great. I'm going to take Kevin Owens to get the win here. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to take Sami Zayn to get the win here to put the final bow on his documentary piece. And then, the epilogue to his documentary, if you will. And then they'll each start something new next week in post-WrestleMania season. But I'm going to take Sami Zayn to get the win here in what's going to be an incredible match. I hope it leads to Kevin Owens jumping off of something as he did last year at Mania. Big E defending the Intercontinental Championship against Apollo Crews in a Nigerian drum fight match. And I'm intrigued by what this means. I don't know if they're going to throw drums at each other. I don't know what exactly that means, but I think this could be something that could be incredibly interesting. Big E and Apollo Crews have been doing some incredible work over the past few weeks, and they have great chemistry, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes. I'm going to take Big E to retain here. I think if they do a title change, they'll do it at the next pay-per-view, perhaps at Money in the Bank or something like that. But I'm going to take Big E to retain here, but I think this could be another fantastic match, as all of their matches have been as of late. Cesaro going one-on-one against Seth Rollins. I'm going to take Seth Rollins to get the win here. I think that he's been doing great work, and this is going to be an incredible match as well. I see no reason for that to slow down. So I say Seth Rollins defeats Cesaro in what's going to be an incredible match between two incredible performers. Really looking forward to that. Matt Riddle defending the United States Championship against Sheamus. He is not going to forget his lines, and he is going to retain the United States Championship here. He's been, again, I see no reason to put the U.S. title on Sheamus at that point. At this point, Riddle's been doing great work with it. He's got a great gimmick going. Excuse me. And I really am looking forward to that match as well. So I'm going to say that Riddle retains and defeats Sheamus. And now, in the match that I am least looking forward to by far out of this is going to be my bathroom break match, I think. When Braun Strowman goes against Shane McMahon in a steel cage in a build that rivals AEW for how bad it's been, I am not interested in this at all. I don't care. I think that the feud has been absolutely horrendous. It's been unnecessary. It makes no sense. The booking has been terrible. I hate it. I don't want to see it. and it's just god-awful levels of horrendousness. I'll say Braun Strowman because I think the face has to get the win here. Shane McMahon will jump off the cage, and it'll be all well and good. We'll get the cage spot, and that's fine. Shane's good at it. I'm cool with that. But this needs to end because this feud has really been awful, and it's a disgrace to what Braun Strowman is capable of, and I think he deserves way better than what he's been getting with Shane McMahon. Now, on the complete opposite side of things, going from something I can't stand to something I'm very interested in, and that's a tag team match between Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and John Morrison. We knew this was coming. This match has been rumored for months now. Bad Bunny has been very impressive in WWE and what he brings to the table. I think he really wants to do well. He wants to be a WWE superstar. He's taking it seriously, and he really does throw a good punch. So I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's smart putting Damian Priest and John Morrison in there just in case, especially Damian Priest, who I think is the absolute future of WWE. I think he's just incredible. So looking forward to this. I obviously, the faces have to get the win here. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest get the win here. But this, I'm intrigued by this. This is going to be an awesome match, and I'm really looking forward to it. Should be great. Raw Women's Champion Asuka defending against Rhea Ripley. I go back and forth on this, but you have to give it to Rhea Ripley. You wouldn't bring Rhea Ripley up to sign her match just for her to lose to Asuka at WrestleMania. So I think they've been building Rhea Ripley up. I think Rhea Ripley gets the win here and becomes the new Raw Women's Champion. I just don't see a reason for to bring her up and give her this major spotlight to have her lose to Asuka. It just doesn't make sense. So I say Rhea Ripley gets it and becomes the Raw Women's Champion. I'm fine with it. I love Rhea Ripley. I love everything she does. It's more of an indictment on the Raw Women's Division and just their lack of creativity, lack of direction, lack of secondary storylines, and that's a real problem. But that takes nothing away from what Rhea Ripley and Asuka are going to do, and Rhea Ripley will be your new Raw Women's Champion by the end of the night. The Fiend, returning from the dead, returning from the burned, however you want to say it, going one-on-one with Randy Orton. Obviously, The Fiend gets the win here. No need, you know, it's the culmination of this storyline. And the thing is, I don't know where you go from here. I would think you keep Alexa Bliss with The Fiend because it works. Really the only thing to, and you can probably get one more match out of this at Money in the Bank, but other than that, then after that, The Fiend has to go for the WWE Championship. I don't see where else he goes from here except going for the WWE title and the interactions between him and, well, who I think is going to win, and we'll get to that eventually. But, I think that, I think this could be great. I love seeing The Fiend. The Fiend's entrance live with fans is going to be amazing, as it always is. So, really looking forward to that. The Fiend versus Randy Orton is going to be great, with The Fiend getting the win. Raw Tag Team Champions, The New Day against AJ Styles and Omos, getting his first match in WWE. This one's tough. I'm going to say The New Day retains here. You could easily say that it makes sense to give the titles to AJ Styles and Omos. I have no problems with that, but I do think the New Day is going to retain here with a distraction on the outside or something, and then New Day gets a quick roll up on AJ Styles. Just because I'm curious to see what Omos can do in the ring, but I don't think you're going to put the title on him right away. So I've got the New Day retaining in what I think is going to be a very entertaining match. SmackDown Women's Championship, Bianca Belair challenging Sasha Banks. We talked about this on the TBD Wrestling Podcast that earlier this week. Definitely check out the TBD Wrestling Podcast with Matt McCool, Referee Tony, King Ajar, myself, and Brother Adam. Had a good discussion there. I think this match does need to close night one. And for a number of reasons, and you can go back and listen to the podcast to see why that is. Bianca Belair has to get the win here. If this match was not closing night one, I'd say that Sasha retains. But because it closes night one, you've got to have Bianca Belair getting her WrestleMania moment, as she is the future of WWE and will end night one standing as your new SmackDown Women's Champion. Now, if you want to put the title back on Sasha Banks, fine. I don't know if Bayley gets involved in this somehow, because Bayley's not on the card yet, which I think is a travesty. But that's another conversation for another time. You know, give her, I don't know, put her against Carmella or something. Give her something to do. But because Carmella's not in on the card either, which I don't agree with, because I think Carmella's fantastic. But if you want to get them involved, this is the time to do it. But I think at the end of the day, Bianca Belair will emerge as your new SmackDown Women's Champion. And now the two title matches, the two men's heavyweight title matches. First, WWE Championship. And I think that this match will actually open the show and will be the first match on night one, with Bobby Lashley challenging Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. I gotta say Drew wins here and gets his WrestleMania moment in front of a live crowd. I know why they put the title on Lashley, and I'm so glad that they did, because he deserves it, and I think that he can win the title back at Money in the Bank, and I'm okay with that. But you have to give Drew McIntyre his WrestleMania moment that he didn't get last year. And I think that after an intense battle with some interference by the ex-members of the Hurt Business, Drew McIntyre becomes your new WWE Champion and gets his WrestleMania moment, which is so rightfully deserved. And then finally, the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, versus Edge, versus Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match for the Universal Championship. I have a real hard time picking this one. Obviously, the return of Edge is an amazing thing, and it's 10 years to the day. I think it's on the 10th, was 10 years to the day where he had to retire. So the easiest thing to do is to give vindication, give Edge his moment, give him the title back, and, you know, have that wrong that was righted so many years ago. However, your tribal chief and my tribal chief, the big dog, Roman Reigns, will retain the Universal Championship. There's no reason to take it off of him at this point. If you want to continue a feud with Daniel Bryan or something, you can do that, and that's fine. Have him have one more match or something like that at Money in the Bank. That's cool. But I see no reason to take it off the title of the big dog. The head of the table, the tribal chief, is doing amazing work, and he is your tribal chief and mine. He will have another WrestleMania moment, and Roman Reigns will emerge as your Universal Champion. And those are my predictions for WrestleMania 37. Everybody, enjoy the show this week. It's going to be amazing. As I'm recording this on a Wednesday night, we had the first night of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, and it was incredible. Can't wait for night two. We'll talk about all things WrestleMania next week on the show. And those are the thoughts of Derrico. Everybody, enjoy WrestleMania 37. Enjoy the Super Bowl for us wrestling fans. And know that this could be the turnaround of finally getting things as back to the new normal as we possibly can. Enjoy WrestleMania, folks. I know I will.
This has been the thoughts of Derrico. You're smarter now, man.